schietta va a schiacciare dentro un debucco e c'è la mai we are reading from chapter 2, reading chapter 2 from verse 1 to verse 13. Jeremiah chapter 2, we are reading from verse 1 to verse 13. It reads as follows. The word of the Lord came to me, God, go and proclaim the hearing of Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness, through a land and throughout a land and not so. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruit of his harvest. All who devoured her were held guilty, and disaster overtook them. Hear the word of the Lord, you descendants of Jacob, and you clans of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols, and they became worthless themselves. They did not ask, where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through the land of disaster and ravines, and the land of drought and utter darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives. I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce, but you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance disastrous. The priest did not ask, where is the Lord? Those who deal with the Lord did not know me. The leaders rebel against me. The prophets prophesy by Baal, following worthless idols. Therefore, I bring charges against you again. I will bring charges against your children's children. Cross over the coast of Cyprus and look and see Kedar, and observe closely, see if there has ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its God? Yet they are not gods at all, but my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. Be upheld in this, you heaven and shadow with a great parable. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken the spring of living water and dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for being our God. Again, Father God, we come in your presence because we trust you. You are our God. You can reprimand us sometimes. We can speak with us, and we know that your God will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being faithful sometimes when we are not faithful. You're always our God, and we praise you for that. Praise you for watching over us. Praise you for seeing something better in us. We praise you for walking with us. We praise you for embracing us. Father, we can compare you with nothing. Your love, your faithfulness, your grace that is sufficient for us. Your love that you have for us in the midst of us being not faithful to you, but you always had our back. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being so faithful. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. We are speaking with this book of Jeremiah, and one thing that is very much important It's what Pastor Ruben just said in the children's talk. That sometimes as human beings, we shun from worshiping God and going to worship idols or what we would like to worship, but not God. But now when we read here in this book of Jeremiah, we find out that Jeremiah was the prophet, and God asked him to prophesy about what is going to happen between him in Israel. The main message of the book of Jeremiah, it's about repentance from the sin. And I think Jeremiah, what he's doing is telling the people to repent from the sin in order God can postpone the judgment that will happen for them to be taken over by Babylon. Secondly, what he always emphasized is repentance. Repentance is one of the greatest needs in our immoral world. What lesson we should learn when we're looking at this passage? Jeremiah was called by God to teach how intimately God knows us. If you can look at when you go chapter 1 and all these chapters, it's just how intimate God knows us. God knows us by name. Now, I think that's what Jeremiah was highlighting in this book. How God valued us before anyone else knew that we exist. I think Jeremiah is saying, God valued you more than anyone. God sees something better in you more than anyone. As much as people have sinned and everything, but God still sees a good thing in them. Remember, the Bible says we're sinners. Well, we are straying from God. But God decided to bring us back again. He brings us his only son and to die for us. God values us more highly than we value ourselves. I think that's what the author or Jeremiah wants to highlight, that God sees value in us. If you can read in this way we are read now, God is challenging these people in order to show you that God sees value in us. In the midst of what these people are worshipping, but God still says to them, can you come back, let's talk again. Because if God was cruel, he would say, you are worshipping idols, I'm choosing other people. Yeah, but God still says, because he sees value. In the midst of these people, when they worship other gods, they will be valueless. When they worship other gods, they say God doesn't have value. In the midst of what they are doing, but God still sees value on them. He still takes his time and chooses prophet to come and prophesy in this situation. He still hopes that in the midst of what they've done, God can still save their situation. God, who doesn't care what you, but he always follows on us. And what is Jeremiah doing here? He's prophesying. If I was God, I wouldn't allow Jeremiah to prophesy. Because the people, they always know their God. They're supposed to follow their God. Then if you go to the scripture here, he's reminding what God has done for them. They know where they are. It's because of God's mercy. They know they were in Egypt. God put them where they're supposed to be. Now, they're not supposed to be reminded. But God still go there and remind them. That means God doesn't allow us to go astray. He always has a chance to come back and approach us again, even send his prophet to come and speak with us again. Now, in this chapter, when you look from verse 5, from verse 1 to verse 3, it's about the broken marriage between God and Israel. The remembrance of God, God is remembering the marriage that he had with his people. If you read that verse between verse 1 and verse 3, God reminds them about the marriage that they have. He reminds them about the faithfulness that they have in their marriage. He reminds them about the love that they have in their. He even took them and made them the bride. That means if they are the bride, he is the groom. Now, the only one thing that attracts the bride from the groom is love. Now he's saying to them, I've loved you. He reminds them that we once had a good relationship. And always when you read between verse 1 and 3, I always ask myself, there were little bit things that had happened in the wilderness. But look what God is doing. He doesn't mention those things. He's just come with the good things that had happened. What a good aspect. Where he doesn't say, you remember in the wilderness you did this and this, but you always have the picture
of good things that had happened in the wilderness. Even remind them that, remember, we are faithful in the wilderness. Remember, we loved each other in the wilderness. Remember, you walked with me, you followed me, you trusted me in the wilderness. But there are a lot of things wrong that I've done. But in the midst of that, God still comes with a beautiful side of it. Still say, in the midst of anything, we once loved each other. We once faithful to each other. Now it's like the rest, he calls them their bride. He calls them, you remember that they are not perfect. As much as they were not perfect, but they trusted God. They depended on God, and they were loyal to God. And in verse 2, he says, you loved me. If you go to verse 2, he says, you love. That means the major thing between God and his people is love. Whatever God is doing for us, we don't deserve God's love. But God still loves us. These people are not supposed to be loved by God. Jeremiah is reminding them that this is the same God that you once fell love. In the midst of what is happening now, in the midst of the new idols that you please with them, but the somebody who once loved you. And you once feel something for God there. That means you can still come back again. God is sending Jeremiah to say, I think God doesn't want them to go to exile in Babylon. He's trying every effort that he can do. Not for them to go to Babylon. Every effort. If you read the scripture, it's before they were taken to Babylon. Now, he's doing every effort. He's reminding them about the love things, the good things that I've done with him. He's trying to say, look here, don't go with all that husband. I'm a wealthy husband. I'm still a groom. Now, he's speaking to them. If you look at between verse 4 to verse 8, Jeremiah recited the history. If you look at between verse 4 to verse 8, he recited the history, reminded them about the things that had happened. He reminded them about the wilderness. He reminded them about the faithfulness of God in the wilderness. He reminded them about their forefathers walking with God in that wilderness. He even reminded them how they end up here, this land where they are. The reason why he reminded them is that he was trying to show them that God was faithful and God still faithful. When he reminds them about wilderness, in wilderness there are times where they had no food. God provided the food for them day in, day out. There are times where there was no sun. God was telling them the union is supposed to walk in the middle of the night. God provided the light for them. God was faithful to them. And they followed him. I think it's time to remind them, to look at, is remind them about the history. To make sure that people wouldn't forget what God has done to them. Because there was no Bible then. Now he still reminds them that, remember, in the history of your ancestors, there's somebody who walked with your fathers and put them here. Now, the journey with God doesn't start now. It started a long time ago. And this journey can still go on till you decide to go with God again. Your ancestors were privileged. They walk with God now. You can take your path. In most cases, we don't want to take path on walking with God. We always have every excuses because of the gods that we are worshipping now. Gods that we are worshipping now, money. That's the gods that we are worshipping now. Status. The gods that we are worshipping now. Wants to belong. That's what we are worshipping now. But there are still idols that we still see as gods in our life. But there's only one God who once walked with us before, who can do it again, and who's willing to do it more and more. Days to come, God has an ability to walk with us. Now, Jeremiah is reminding these people that, remember, there was no Bible then, he's just reminding them of the history. The emphasis that God loved them, he said, more than anything. If you can read this message, we always emphasize the love of God in the midst of us worshiping idols, in the midst of us worshiping money, in the midst of us worshiping each other, but we still say, God's love. In anything, God still loves us. Now Jeremiah is explaining this, being that, understand that God still loves you. To remind my people that there was a time where they were close to God. If you go between verse 4 and verse 8, he's saying, remember, you are very much close to God. God will come
to your tabernacle and become your God and speak with you. And the close relationship, now he's saying, there was this strong relationship. Now, if at all you can go back, remember, when people start to accept Jesus Christ and their Savior, they will jump high, tell everybody that I've got Christ in my life, Christ in my life. But now, when the time goes on, we even forget that once there's somebody who accepts us as we are. We just get our mind get obsessed by the things of the church, the things of this world. Whereas we need to remember our first love. When first time you accept Christ as your Savior, when there's something was jumping inside you, you want to tell everybody that there's Christ who accept me as I am. But because the time goes on, I understand a lot of things happen on the way. Can you remember our first love? I think that's what Jeremiah is trying to do. So you remind them that there was a first love. There was a connection where we pray day and night to our God, where we trust our God with our lives, where we trust God with everything. He reminds them that once you had a close relationship, we are very much close to God. There was no time where God wouldn't come to your tabernacle. There was no time where we wouldn't hear the word from God. In these days, I remember when we started to accept Christ, there was no time where we would stay without reading the Bible. But now we even shun away from that. Because I think we've got idols that were worshipping like these people. I think what was trying to do Jeremiah is to remind them about their relation that they have, the close relation that they have to God. We learn that history sometimes built us or is done to for us not to repeat the mistake of the past. When history is told, it's there to remind us not to repeat the mistake of the past. Now, what he's trying to do here, Jeremiah, is trying to tell them that, remember, there was this relationship. Now, can you not do the same mistake of worshiping idols? Was there still God who can walk with you? Now, history, in other ways, sometimes it helps us to know that not to do the same mistakes that we have done in the past. Lastly, if you look at verse 12, verse 9 to 14, God brings legal complaint against Israel. If you look at this verse 9 to 12, God is starting to say, okay, I loved you, we were friends, had a close relationship, we were my people, we walked together, I was with you in the wilderness. But because now you are serving idols, I bring this charge against you. If you look at verse 9 to verse 12, God brings a legal charge complaint against the Israelites. Not only for them, but even for our grandchildren. When you put them there, if you put the verse 9, he's starting to say, I've got this against you. Not only you, not only you, even your grandchildren, they will face the punishment of what you have done. In other words, there are things that you do now, but there are consequences that are going to happen in the future. You might do good things now, there are consequences that you are going to reap for the good things that you have done in the future. There are big things that we can do now. Those bad things, they will haunt us in the future. He's saying to them, I'm bringing this charge against you that are living now in Israel. But remember, this charge will go on to your grandchildren, your children's children. Because what you have done, that means let us be sure what we are doing. Let us not bring curse for our children's children. Let's serve God in order our grandchildren. They can live in our perspective of serving God or in our way of serving. Let's live the legacy. He's trying to say to them, to these people, the legacy that you're going to leave behind. It's a legacy of idols. Whereas I walked with your fathers before. Let's create a good legacy. Let's create something that our children, when we are gone, they'll still say, my father's God is still working with us. God says to people, they never change. He said to them, look around you. Go to verse 10. He said, look around you, people around you. They never change their gods. What kind of people are you who are changing your gods? Look around you. People around you, they never change their gods. They still know, even if their gods goes down and say, even if their gods are not working, but they still go to power. But for you, you've got God that is working. God that keeps you through. God that has walked with you.
There were times where there was no one to walk with you, but God was gracious to walk with you. There are times where you were crying, no body, but God hold your hand and walk with you. He's saying now, after everything that he has done for you, you choose to serve idols. Say, look around you. People, they still serve their ancestors as much as they are not working. They still go to their idols as much as they are not working. But you've got God that you can bring testimony about him. But you're still wandering around. Say, people, they praise their idols as much as they are not working. In our culture, people are still going to their crowds and speak with their ancestors as much as they know that they are not speaking. For us, it's difficult even to say, I know I've got God in heaven. But peace is shining away for saying we've got King of Kings. We've got God who saves people. We've got God who saved my life when I was in mess. My God came through for me. But God who made us people when we were not people. We're afraid to say that. We allow people that they don't have anything to do with to come and give testimony with their idols. He said, look around you. People are busy talking about their idols. Why don't you speak about your God? How many times we listen to people telling us about what they have done for themselves? Why don't we take an opportunity and say, you know what? My God has done this. In other people there, they can, how many times we walk in the street and tell other people that God saves lives? We never do that. Because our dignity and everything is going to he's saying people around you keep their gods even if they are not wealthy. I don't. God calls to heavens to be witnesses of this disaster that is happening. He's saying heavens can come and look at my people that are called by my name and worshiping other gods. That's what Jeremiah is telling. He said, look here. What is calling to heaven and earth? In conclusion, I think one thing that we need to do, we need to turn back to our God. We need to understand that we've got God that is all-powerful. We've got God that he can stand anything. We've got God that who cannot allow us to be a comic to other people. Who always protects us. Lastly, in conclusion, verse 13. Who would set aside a spring of living water for a sinner that cannot even hold water? Verse 13, he's saying, it's amazing what you are doing. You've got this spring of water. That God is spring of water. This water that is flowing. This water that is coming automatically. You go and say, I don't want this spring, healthy water. I just want to dig my own sinners. Whereby this water can be dead. I want to drink in the dead. There's a spring of water. Say, look at my people. They leave the spring of water. They go down and starting to do that. He said, even what they have done, they cannot even hold water. But we still have a spring of water. If you look at John chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus come, met the lady there in the well. He said to this lady in the well, if you know what is happening now, if you know who's standing there, he said, the spring of water is here. He said, if you know who's standing behind of me, in front of you, the gift of life that you can get, we've got a gift of life. Jesus is the gift of life. In the midst of anything, we've got a spring of water. You can dig your own sinners, but remember, you've got a spring of water. You've got someone who's got life that can take us to another life. Not only in this life, but in this life and to the next life. We've got a spring of water. We can undermine what we have. But what we have is a spring of what the people, they can know what we have. He said to this young woman in the way, say, you know what? If you know who's standing in front of you, you'd ask for water from me because I am the spring of water. But someone who are following the spring of water, according to something that he can go with us in this one. As we can die, but our God will remain. Our children will have something to say. There is something God to speak to. Because we've got the spring of water. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Father, we glorify you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. Father, there's no God like you. We still stand here. You agree with Jeremiah. We are the spring of water. Agree, Father God, that there's nothing better than you. You are still the better God that you can choose. In the midst of our challenges and everything that you're going through, but we still trust you as our God. We know, Father God, you are the spring of water. Father, we know that you are God to walk with us. You embrace us. You strengthen us. Father, you see us. And you love us. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Because indeed, we are our God.